Frank, Hayes, and JJ.
Hit it!
It's time for The Frangie Show on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Welcome to the program. Your new drug today, Carlion La Selva. Quarterback spoke.
Yeah.
Did you hear?
I did.
Heard you were on hand.
I was.
Did you greet him? Were you the greeter?
Yeah, I said hey to Trevor, and then yeah. I just said, how's your off season? And we were off and running.
Oh, that started it all.
Yeah.
There you go. So Trevor Lawrence spoke with the media today, as did Foye Aluakin, the two pretty clear leaders, I would say, of the offense and defense. Aluakin's an interesting story. I want to get to him later. We're going to start with Trevor, obviously. We're going to get to him a little bit later on. But he's an interesting story. How he's evolved is what I now think that is the leader of the defense. Now, the middle linebacker or inside linebacker, based on your how you play, is generally or often the leader of the defense. But it almost took a while, didn't it? He's not a rah-rah guy. He's a very cerebral guy. And I think it took a while to get there, but I think he is clearly now the veteran that I think young defensive players look to. I really do.
He's definitely the leader when it comes to getting them lined up and the communication aspect. You know, Josh Allen, I think, is probably the emotional leader, probably the alpha in terms of that, and certainly the contract is going to help fortify that even more. But, yeah, certainly Foye, in terms of he'll be the guy that everybody's coming up to asking questions when the meeting is over
right.
about, so what do I do here? Like, that'll be Foye. That's his strength, is his ability to certainly process and be able to know what the other 10 are doing as well. So he's got a brilliant mind, and, yeah, he's become a fantastic player. And,
yeah.
You know, he's really made a lot of money for a guy coming out of Yale that was a late-round draft pick by the Falcons many years ago.
So a lot to talk about today on the program, but we will certainly focus on the Jags as Trevor Lawrence and Foye Aluakin both met the media. Got a lot of thoughts on him. I'll start with Trevor in just a bit. Other things on the program today, Caitlin Clark, the number one pick in the WNBA. You know, I saw something. Have you ever looked at the salaries?
Oh, it was striking.
It really is. Did you know?
I had no idea. But when I saw it, it was
300 grand.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a 4-year deal worth $338,000. She'll make $76,535, again, in salary.
Yeah. Yeah. Now there's all kind of, right.
And her rookie season in the WNBA. But again, that's all tied to TV money and attendance. And my
guess is Caitlin Clark will make all kind of endorsement money because everybody knows who she is. I mean, Saturday Night Live just had her on. Right. So she's going to make endorsement money, whether it's Nike or Gatorade or whoever pays the athletes the most these days. I'm sure she'll get that. But I was shocked that professional athletes make 70 grand a year. I don't pay attention, and I don't mean it in a demeaning way. I'm just surprised. I don't. If you'd have asked me, in the first, I'd have been honest and said I've got no idea. But then I'd say instead of the 80 million, she probably makes a million or two. I would have never guessed it was $70,000 a year, ever.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a stunning number for where that. It just, you know, again, it tells you where that league is.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's never caught on. And at least, you know, with the casual fan, I guess there's people that are diehard WNBA fans. I've never met one, but I would say that. You know, I think the hope is that her influence and her career
That's correct.
Will have that Tiger effect on golf. And, you know, again, you look at the payouts that were on the PGA Tour in the late 1980s, early 1990s. They were low. I mean, it doesn't take long in this. We talked about it. Scheffler's already, I think, sixth on the career money list. You did not make a ton of money as a professional golfer. Then Tiger Woods showed up and was a phenom and brought so many eyeballs to the sport that weren't paying attention, and the ratings went up, which led to the TV revenue spiking, which led to ticket costs going up to go attend these tournaments, and that brought way more players to the millionaire and multimillionaire club. I mean, Tiger Woods made Phil Mickelson, Ernie Els,
right.
All those guys made them a ton more money than they would have made had they played in the 1970s, 1980s. And I think you have to hope, if you're a fan of the WNBA, that Caitlin Clark has that influence and has that kind of a career. And then maybe in 10 years, it's a totally different structure. But this is their collective bargaining agreement. Obviously, you know, the TV dollars are very low. The attendance costs is very low. Maybe that will change.
Right.
But until it does, that's what this is.
Yeah,
it's no one twiddling a mustache and trying to, you know, have a evil agenda.
Right.
It's all based on the interest in your sport.
Yeah. And correct. This isn't unfair. I'm not trying to portray it as shame. What a shame that the women don't get paid what the men do. I'm not saying that. You earn what the market will bear. And you said it. If there's not interest in the sport, the people playing the sport aren't going to make a lot of money. No, I get that. I was still alarmed at what it was.
Anytime you see, like, in sports, you think number one pick, and you don't see it being an M next to the number for million, you see K.
Right.
That's a surprise for sure. And this one is, you know, not even really close to – it's not even really close to $500,000,
let alone
$1 million.
But I'll bet she makes – I'm guessing this, but am I crazy to think she's making the millions with endorsements?
I would think, and
somewhere
and also,
in the millions,
you're not locked into only playing in WNBA.
That's right.
I mean, you know, it's because the contracts are so small. You know, a lot of the players obviously play in other professional leagues outside of the WNBA season.
Yeah, that's right. You're exactly right about that. But anyway, still said I got my attention. One other story that's out there. Did you ever buy the Rory to live story? Because he certainly squelched it today.
He did. I could see Liv offering him $850 million.
Yeah.
Like that is, you know, and again, I could see Liv getting to a point where they're like frustrated with the merger, and we don't know how the Saudis view this, but they could view it as, well, we just purchased John Rahm. Let's go purchase Rory McIlroy and continue to just pick off the truly elite players of the sport.
And the most popular.
And see, because nothing's gaining traction.
Right.
I mean, I'm assuming they have to have some motivation for this Liv entity to actually be successful. And it's an epic bomb. I mean, it's a total bomb. And I think in looking at it, the only way that I think their only path to relevance is to keep, because money is what they have at their disposal. That's their superpower. And just keep throwing money at the stars and hope that you can continue to get. It's not going to matter. Like, they could pay Rory McIlroy $850 million. It's not going to save Liv. It's not going to elevate Liv.
Yeah,
all you're going to do is you're going to pay a lot of money for a player that is not going to bring anyone else to the golf course. And Rory's super popular, but we've seen – no one has followed a player to live as a fan.
And maybe if they were going to offer $850 with Tiger not in play anymore, this is the most popular player on tour now. So there's no, as far as anybody will tell you, we saw it here at the Players, the galleries follow him more than anybody else. With Tiger notwithstanding, the galleries follow Rory more than anybody else. I saw it here. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And so,
and the day he joins Liv, I think that totally goes away.
And that's the point. So maybe if you're – I do too, by the way. I don't disagree with you at all. I don't think people are suddenly going to go to the Liv event. I 100% agree with you. But maybe if you're Liv, if you're them, you're thinking –
you have no other choice.
This is our Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And maybe the if indeed Liv offered him $850, if that's true, this is it. We're down to a Hail Mary. It's 4th and 19 from our own 30, and we're down to this. And so we'll see. We'll talk about that.
Again, I almost think it's changed. It went from being the PGA Tour really needs to merge with Liv. If they've been able to find enough financial backing.
And it looks like they have.
Yeah, and find those partners. I mean, if they can withstand it, the PGA Tour is going to survive this.
Yeah, I think what happened, Hayes, I think you're right. I think they were close to a merge. Which is one of the things that angered Rory, by the way, because he felt like he was propped up as the anti-Liv guy, and then behind the scenes they were talking about a merge. He's still, if you have people that watch Full Swing season 2, apparently I haven't, but apparently he's really angry in that you see it in there. But anyway, I think that if they're going to do it, this would be the only way to do it. I agree with you, by the way. I don't think he would change it, but I think they were close to the merge, and then the tour went and found $1 billion or billions of dollars of invested dollars, which the reason I think it slowed down, I think the tour didn't need it as bad. I think the tour would not have had the conversation with the PIF and with Liv if they didn't think they had to do it to compete financially. Well, all of a sudden, all these investment dollars come along. Now I think the tour gained more leverage and backed off, and I think that's what happened. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll track that story. Lee Smith in studio with us on Thursday. Certainly we'll talk more about that. But the story today is Trevor Lawrence. He met with the media. What did you think? Overview. I mean, you've interviewed Trevor 100 times.
I thought he did a fantastic job, as he always does. And, you know, the biggest thing is just how does he look? And
he looked bigger on Twitter.
It looked like he'd you know, added some good weight. Again, to hear him talk about his health, about really wasn't fully healthy until March.
Yeah.
And that's like 7 weeks after the season. That's right. Nothing for a man in his mid-20s. You know, that's a lot of healing time. So that certainly gives you an idea what he was going through. And, you know, I thought it was good to hear him talk about, I really do need to do a better job of avoiding the hits that I don't have to take. If it's not necessary, I need to do a better job of avoiding contact, because I think he really learned that he's not at the point, and maybe never will be, but he's not at the point in his career where he can just not practice and then show up on Sunday and dominate a defense.
Yeah. Well, number one, there's very few players who can. Maybe Tom Brady and Manning, but there's very few guys who can not, to your point. So we're going to hear the comments of Trevor Lawrence today, right now, and then I'll give you my thoughts on everything that came out of the presser. Let's start with his first one. What was his offseason like?
It's been good. It's been really good. It's been nice, you know, physically being able to get healthy and kind of get back in the swing of things. Been able to travel a little bit, do some stuff, and now we're back rolling. It comes quick, but just excited to be back, obviously, with the guys that were here and some of the new guys in here. So it's exciting to get everybody back together.
And Hayes said it right just a moment ago. Boy, it's taken him a while to feel healthy.
It took a while. I mean, I'd probably say March. You know, when March hit, I felt really good, like lifting and doing everything like totally normal. You know, I'd been so used to the back half of the season adjusting everything, whether it was workout or throwing or practice or whatever it was. You know, I gave myself, I would work out but still modified, but until March, I'd say that's when I started to feel like 100% do the stuff that I normally do and can kind of get back in the kind of shape I want to be and train the way I wanted to. So yeah, it took a little while.
Everybody was disappointed in the way the season went, Trevor among them, and he talked about the way 2023 kind of got away from him.
Yeah, it was obviously a disappointing season. I mean, some of the stuff that I said after the year, but I think just being removed from it, it's a lot easier to see the good after the fact, not necessarily the good things that happened, but use the bad things as good and to make yourself better moving forward. I mean, there's just so many things that I learned last season, whether it's, you know, trying to stay healthy and dealing with some things that I haven't had to deal with in my career, or not playing as consistent as I wanted to play and to finish the year, whatever it may be, maybe not meeting some expectations that we had for ourselves as a team, not playing well in big games, all these things that have gone through my head. I think you being removed from it, you can take stuff from that and use it to make you better. In the moment, it's hard to see the big picture. So I'm thankful for that.
And like any competitor, a bad season or a disappointing end to a season serves as motivation.
I mean, all the difficult times of my career, I mean, I think back to my rookie season, has made me a lot better for it. You just have to use it. So that's what I plan to do from last season. And I think that's our approach as a team, too. It's a waste if you don't use it. You went through that experience and then you don't use it. It's double bad, because it sucked going through it and then you didn't get better from it. So I think that's my mindset. That's our mindset moving forward. And so many things to learn from.
Now, one of the stories that is developing and will continue to develop about Trevor Lawrence is, we know we want him here a long time, and he's probably going to be, but that means an extension. He was asked if he's talked about an extension with the Jags.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been some conversations. You know, as far as where that's at now, it's not really my focus. You know, I'd love to obviously be a Jag. So for as long as possible, we love it here, and I love where we're headed as an organization, and feel like I'm just getting better every year, and my best ball is definitely ahead of me. So from that standpoint, obviously, yeah, that would be great. But like you said, it's going into my fourth year. It's not like this is necessarily going to be my last season. You know, there's a lot that could happen. So not really my focus right now.
Yeah, and how do you keep it? How do you keep yourself from not focusing on it? That's the point.
At the end of the day, my job isn't going to change whether I get extended or not before this season. My job is to go win games and to be the best I can be for this team so we can have a chance to win a Super Bowl. So even if I get the contract extension, that's still my job, even more so. You know, there's even more expectation and pressure on that. So for me, I have the same focus and the same mindset. I can't lie. Obviously, it would be nice to have that done and, you know, feel good about it. But no, it's not really the focus right now. I know where we're at. I know where we're heading, and I know what I have to do. And, you know, there's some improvements that I have to make going forward.
Now, in the fan base, there has been, for the longest time, conversation about play calling. Press Taylor called the plays last year. That was certainly a discussion point in the fan base. Who will call them this year? Did Doug Peterson hint that he wouldn't? Did he hint that Press wouldn't? Did he hint that Press still would? Nobody knows, and that's really their business. But Trevor was asked what he expects and who he thinks is going to call the plays.
I like where we're at, and I think that we've made some really necessary changes this offseason already. And now we just got to implement them and get great at it. You know, I think it's about creating an identity and being really good at what we do. And I think we have a clear vision and picture of what that is. And I'm excited, you know, and I'm expecting it to be Press at this point because that's kind of the direction we've been heading and what I expect, you know, not hearing anything. So that's where we're going, and I'm excited for it.
Press Ted, Trevor Lawrence, who would know, thinks Press is going to call the plays, and I think he is right. Finally, and Hayes talked about this a moment or two ago, you can't win games if you're not out there, and it's harder to win games when you're hobbling out there. Trevor talked about the importance of staying healthy.
Also, too, if you're not healthy and you can't practice, it's hard to play well, and that's something that I want to take more ownership of making sure whatever it is I have to do, maybe it's taking less hits, maybe it's doing, you know, throwing the ball away, doing certain things, or whatever I can do to stay healthy is just being able to continue to practice and prepare during the week so I feel like I can put my best performance out there on Sunday and give us a chance to win. I feel like late in the year I didn't do that enough.
The comments of Trevor Lawrence today at a presser. I got a lot of thoughts on him. But let me make a big picture comment here, Hayes. In the history of the sport, the greatest quarterbacks in the history of this sport often were not that first overall pick or that really high pick. Now, Peyton Manning was very high. Terry Bradshaw was very high. They were first. But Tom Brady was not. Joe Montana was not. Dan Marino went at the end of the round. There are guys. And I think what happens sometimes when you're that first overall pick, you were so much more talented than everybody else that it came too easy. And when I say that you believed you could do things because you always got away with it. Even if the play calls for don't try and stick it into the back of the end zone, common sense says throw it out of the back because it's not there. But I've always, my arm's so big and I'm so athletic that I've always gotten away with this. So I'm going to try and stick it in there. Well, you know what happens in the NFL? They pick it off or they tip it away. A London game 2 years ago against Denver. I can stick it in there because I've always been able to stick it in there. Well, now then maybe I can't. The injury thing. He's super fast. He's super big. I'm not usually getting injured because I'm out running people or even when I have to run the ball, I run over him because he's an athlete. Well, guess what happens in the NFL? You get nicked. I hold the ball a little bit longer because I've always been able to hold the ball a little bit longer. Well, you get hurt. If that light goes on for Trevor Lawrence, you know he's a supreme talent. There's nobody can debate the fact that he's a supreme talent. The hardware's all there. There's nothing missing. Rifle arm, big, fast, athletic. The software's there. Hard worker, good teammate, good guy in the community. I mean, there's a reason people were talking about this guy as the first overall pick when he was a freshman in college because we knew it was all there. But the light's got to go on for a guy for whom it has come so easily, Hayes. And if this light goes on for him, he now knows he's got to protect his body the way others do, which means get rid of the ball or get out of trouble somehow. Don't let himself, and that's what he talked about. If he now knows there's chances he's got to not take, that'll cut down the turnovers. He led the NFL in turnovers with 21 last year. That will affect the turnover some. Hey, Houston, Tennessee, Indy, and for that matter, hey, rest of the conference and hey, rest of the league, if that light goes on for Trevor Lawrence, if he really learns, because he's not obstinate. He's not arrogant at all. You just believe what you believe because past history tells you can get away with this, this, and this. If that light goes on for him and he kind of figures that part out, look out. I'm telling you, look out. Because it sounds that way, didn't it, today? It sounds like taking care of his body, staying healthy, taking care of the turnovers, or reducing the turnovers, I should say. If that all goes on for him, and I think it's going to, our shout today in this 5 o'clock hour is going to be, what progress do you think Trevor's going to make, and how do you feel about him today? I really think, look out. I mean this passionately. If all that happens for Trevor, all those instincts to protect himself, to take care of the ball, to not throw it where you're not supposed to, because in this league you don't get away with that throw, I think he can be the magnificent, marvelous, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL that the first overall pick indicated he was going to be.
It's the only thing holding him back is his situational awareness. And I think it goes to what you're talking about. He was a generational talent in terms of arm strength, size, things like that. But there was something lacking that we missed, and it was that he had not been put in a lot of situations at high school or Clemson where he had to play smart situational football. He hadn't been hit from the blind side very often because Clemson obviously had a great team around him. Cartersville did as well. So he's having to learn lessons at the NFL level, and those are going to be painful lessons because professional athletes are going to take full advantage of a mistake, like Justin Simmons with a goal line interception, like a tackle when you don't have any timeouts inside your 5-yard line, tackle inbounds to keep you from scoring, like hitting Trevor when he's not expecting it and getting the ball off of him. He's 24 years old. The Jaguars, unfortunately, have had to pay for a lot of the situational mistakes that Trevor Lawrence just hasn't seen. It's one of the reasons why you're starting to see NFL general managers and coaches gravitate more to college prospects with a ton of starts, like Bo Nix, Penix, guys like that with 40-something starts. They've situationally seen a lot of things. They've got that scar tissue. Trevor Lawrence didn't have it. He was in college for 3 years. It went really, really well. They basically never lost. When they did lose, it was at the end of the year. And there was a lot of things that his football career just didn't really ever teach him. So he's had to learn it here. And he's behind because of that. I would agree. I think situational football, Trevor Lawrence is a D. If everything else with him, I think is an A+. But his situational, his savvy, the nuance of the game for Trevor Lawrence, I think he's a D-level player. He's a bad player. That's got to come up. If that can get to the C+ range this year, and in future years, as he really hits the peak of his career, get to the B-A level, he'll be unstoppable. And that's the challenge. It's not all going to go away in one season because he makes too many elementary mistakes. So you hope that it gets better, and you hope that somebody who was poor in that area can become above average in that area over the course of one season.
I will say this. I agree with you, it doesn't all go away. But that's not a thing that happens gradually. At some point, there's a big jump. You see it with point guards that learn how to see the floor. You see it with pitchers who learn how to pitch, not just throw. When the step happens, it's a big jump. Now, you're right. You may not take the full jump. There's too much to learn, and it's a hard league, by the way. I tell people all the time, it's football leagues. Oh, this is a hard one. You know, so but that step is a big, when you do take it, you go all of a sudden, wow. So I have high hopes for him. I think all the software is there, the hardware is there. Man, he looks the part. I think he knows. I love it. You said it before we even played his cuts, and then I agree with you. He knows he's got to take care of his body. Well, I promise you he knows he's got to take care of the football. If there's one thing that he's been battered about, I would think, is you did lead the league in turnovers. You know, there's no part of that is getting rid of the ball. Part of that, and they got to help him too. They got to help him with play calling. The line's got to protect better. Guys got to get open, man. You know, some guys got to run. You got to win. The wide receivers have to win more than they won. But now, Christian. One thing I love about Christian Kirk, Evan Engram, and Zay Jones, who are all going to be on the team this year. Gabe Davis, I don't know yet. I think he's the same way, but they're extremely cerebral football players. You know this. You interview them all the time. And I'm not saying the other football players are not smart guys, but they're extremely cerebral, and that will help him. It'll continue, and they're guys with whom he's familiar. So I'm excited. I've got high hopes for what I think
he should have a big year.
I do too.
I think he should have a big year.
I think that's going to happen. And whether you like Press Taylor calling the plays or not, this will be the second year. This will be the second year they've done it together. So we'll see. So I'm excited about a lot of things. We'll take a break. We'll talk a little bit about Foyer Lewican. We'll talk some other Jaguar stuff. We got a lot to talk about today, but when the Jaguars both speak, that's going to be our lead topic. A lot of things to get to. Glad you're with us. It's 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
It's a Nimnicht Tuesday on The Frangie Show. Nimnicht, your friends in the car business since 1941.
Frank Frangie hates Car Lion. J.J. LaSelva with you on a Tuesday. We thank our friends from the Nimnicht family of dealerships. Always a Nimnicht Tuesday around here. We sure appreciate our friends from Nimnicht. That's Nimnicht Buick GMC, who's on Phillips Highway. Nimnicht Chevrolet, the original. Guys, they do a great job. Head to Nimnicht. My favorite car dealership. Been buying my cars there since 1982, and I think I'm going to keep right on doing that. I made a decision, Car Lion. I'm going to keep right on doing that. You heard from Trevor Lawrence. Foyer Oluokun, what's your take on Foyer? I really like him. Extremely cerebral, understated, not rah-rah guy, but leads the right way. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's all those things. He's a great asset for the Jaguars. I do think his playmaking has gotten better, and hopefully he'll have a chance to do even more things and be freed up more with the arrival of Arik Armstead. And obviously now the presence of what Josh Allen is capable of, what we've seen, and Trayvon Walker's emergence, this defense has a lot of talent. And, you know, that front seven, what it needs is a field general. And Foyer does a great job of that in terms of getting guys lined up and knowing what everybody's job is. So I think he's invaluable. I from a talent standpoint, I don't think he's like a top five Jaguar. But I think in terms of total package, what he means to them, I think he is a top five.
And he's one of the best tacklers in the league. He was like Trevor, met with the media today and was asked about the obvious thing now, the really good contract extension.
Yeah, I mean, initially with the contract, you know, the guarantee was up after 2 years. So it was really depending on what the team wanted to do. So I talked to my agent and said, if, you know, they're trying to keep me around, I'm playing, you know, pretty good football right now. I want to stay at Jaguar. And, you know, I talked with Coach Nielsen before the extension, everything. I had a lot of confidence where he could take my game personally. And I just wanted to play for coaches who trusted me and an organization who trusted me rather than, you know, hitting the whole market again after this year and stuff. So it kind of gives me some security, helps the team out with cap space probably. But at the end of the day, it's about if you guys respect me and like me around, I definitely want to be here.
And you heard Foyer mention a new defensive coordinator, Ryan Nielsen. He was asked to elaborate a little bit on his new coach.
Yeah, so I knew a lot of the guys in Atlanta. Hit him up right away about, you know, the kind of guy he is or how he coaches and stuff. Pretty hard-nosed, a lot of good energy coming from him. You know, already, you know, kind of runs a straight ship. The guys will respond very well to that, keeping guys accountable, and we're all going to play as hard as we can for him.
He also talked about what he expects from the new coordinator's new scheme.
We really haven't gotten too deep into schematics, but there's just watching the way that Atlanta played last year and the Saints before that. I think he got a lot of his defenses from that. Just watching the way they play aggressive, they attack, they're downhill, they play fast all over. It's all about effort, and I think that's where he's going to keep our standard to, playing hard, playing aggressive. If we just take those outside of scheme, just take that style of play, I think a good deal of things will happen for us.
Veterans like veterans. They like having veterans around, and Arik Armstead is the ultimate veteran. Foyer was asked to talk about the new defensive tackle.
Great player, part of a great defense. So not only his abilities on the field, but his leadership as well, holding that whole room to a standard, being able to be an example, and then coming, you know, seeing what he sees we need to do differently, and try to implement things that he knows works the whole defense.
The Jaguars were 8-3 last year at one point, and the bottom kind of fell out afterwards. Foyer was asked, how hard was that stretch on him?
Yeah, it'll never be in a rear view. Maybe next year after the season. I mean, I got a lot of questions on it throughout the offseason, and it's hard to think about just when it even started. We started off winning, but we weren't winning convincingly how maybe the score might have showed, but we knew that we weren't playing our best football, and I think a lot of those things caught up to us, and then trying to right our wrongs a little too late in the season, then it's a little bit more stressful when teams are hitting their stride and we're trying to find out how to do things right. Yeah, that hurt for sure, and I think it will fuel us.
And the obvious follow-up question to that, how do you make sure it doesn't happen again?
Everybody's committed to doing things right this time around. You know, you don't want to say we don't want to get in that position again. And it starts from the first game all the way to the last, you know. But just keeping improving every week, no matter what the scoreboard is, you know, keeping our standard every week. Because sometimes you win games that you didn't play your best. Now you don't learn from them if you're not trying to get better. I think that kind of happened to us, and we're not going to do that this year.
The comments of Foye Aluakun, both Trevor Lawrence and Aluakun both met with the media today. That starts kind of the offseason, the OTAs, if you will. The workouts begin. It's all part of this almost feels like the second in-season stretch. There's that. There's the draft. There's going to be mini camps, and there's going to be football, at least practice, Hayes. Evaluation, draft, practice, play a little bit, really for the next 2-3 months. And this is the part of the season where you get a little bit better. It was kind of cool to hear from both guys today.
It was, and Aluakun was great on he was asked, you know, this is his third contract. His rookie contract wasn't very lucrative, but certainly when he signed with the Jaguars initially as a free agent, that was. And this contract is lucrative. So he was asked about his legacy and what's important to him, and he made a comment like, well, I mean, like, you know, when I talked to my financial advisor, I basically was like, dude, I don't care about the money. You know, it's about what I can do in this league. And it's great that he's in that position in life. It's well earned. And yeah, I mean, it's good to hear that, you know, what motivates him is not money. What motivates him is winning. And, you know, I do think that Trevor had the main point of the day, which is you can't let the collapse turn into, I think he phrased it, a double bad. They've got to learn from it and become better because of it. You know, a lot of the guys that went through that, we think, are going to be here for several years. And it's going to be interesting to ask Doug about it, you know, in the times that we get him, is how much do you focus on that and how much of it do you just sort of bury and move on and not let it become an issue? Because it's obviously going to be an issue. They're going to be asked about it the first time they lose a game this fall. All the questions are going to come, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but we know how this works. The questions are going to come, well, how do you keep this, you know, from becoming a losing skid like last year? And it's like, dude, we lost one game. You know, I mean, that's going to happen in this league. But that's what it's going to be if they get off to a great start in the fall. You know, it's going to be, how do you guard against the collapse? And so it's going to be unavoidable at times, certainly in their interactions with the media. I'll be curious to see how much Doug Peterson brings it up. And at what times and at what point does he just basically say, okay, that's it, it's buried, and I'm not going to bring it up anymore with the team.
Yeah, at some point, let's move on, and you got a big season ahead of you. We'll take a break. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to move on from headlines.
Let's do it.
I want headlines. I'm look checking you. I want to see if you're prepared. JJ, you think he's prepared? I can't get a good read. You think he's ready for these headlines?
Well, considering he sent me an email earlier with all the headlines, I definitely know he's prepared.
Okay, he's prepared. I forgot the barbecue. It just hit me.
Oh, yeah.
I failed again. Okay, tomorrow.
I ate at the Jaguars. So
loser
totally
Wednesday.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Loser Wednesday tomorrow. I promise I'll take orders today, and you'll have your food tomorrow, you bunch of losers. When we come back, it is Hayes' headlines. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's Hayes' Headlines, presented by Harrell & Harrell. Don't settle for less than you deserve. Hear all about it. Here's Hayes Carline.
Welcome back to the Franchi Show. Frank Franchi, JJ LaSelva. I'm Hayes Carline.
Man, I'm ready for these headlines.
Are you ready?
I mean, I don't know that I've ever been more ready for headlines. Than
good.
Are the Harrell & Harrell people ready? They sponsor this thing.
Are they
they going to get their money's worth today?
I hope so.
You know what?
If not,
they're going to sue you. Okay, that's my recommendation. Okay, go ahead.
Again, you can call them at 251-1111. Our good friends at Harrell & Harrell sponsoring the headlines. Yeah, we talked a lot about Trevor and Foye Aluakun, but the Jaguars also released something really cool today on social, and it was Doug Peterson's message to the team. JJ, you got that for us?
We had a lot of time from our last game. Yeah, a lot of time. A lot of time to think about the direction in which we're going. I think that's the most important thing, is that we got to get better every single day. We can't be satisfied with just being satisfied. We can't be satisfied with just being average. We can't be satisfied with just being ordinary. No. No. We got winners in this room. We got Super Bowl champions in this room. We got guys that have been there and done that in this room. That's the culture we've started. And that's the culture that we're going to continue to have. Every day. Every day we attack the classroom. Every day we attack the practice field. Okay? Every day is an opportunity to get better. Coaches and players. Coaches and players. Every single day. Okay?
The Jaguars team does such a just phenomenal job with the hunt and everything. So this was a sliver of that.
Right.
But really cool to see that message.
Yeah, first of all, Jaguars.com, the digital. I tell Patrick Cavanaugh, who runs it all the time, it's amazing how good they are. I'm serious about this. I say it all. It's amazing how good they are. And Jaguar fans, you are lucky to have them. I really do believe that. Listen, if you heard Doug on our show at the Combine, one thing he said to me, he said, look, Frank, I told him, it's great to be 8-3. It also would have been great to finish 5-1 or whatever. He said, we can't. He said, the one thing I've got to get these guys is don't settle for, hey, we're pretty good now. Don't ever settle. And that's what that message was. And that's where he is I've got to get him to understand that the grind never stops. The grind never stops. The grind never stops. And that's the message there. It was kind of cool to hear.
Absolutely. Frank, get ready for 15 days of chaos. The portal is open.
I love chaos.
In college football.
Yeah, how about that? You know, the post-spring portal is an interesting one. Because you got to get impact guys, because you don't have spring to learn the system. So if you take somebody now, he's a guy that's got to help you right away.
No doubt about it. The Gators saw linebacker Manny Nunnery reportedly enter the portal this afternoon. Makes sense. He's a reserve linebacker I think this is the last year of college football. He transferred to Florida from Houston, and with Shamar James and Pup Howard and Wingo and obviously the talented freshman Graham and Gates, I don't think there would have been much room there for him.
He wasn't a very good player,
right? Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a mean way.
Right.
I don't say that stuff about college guys very often because they're trying the best they can. But he wasn't a very good player. And I think, you know, you go get portal guys, they got to be good players.
Yeah, and you're going to see Florida's going to need to do a little bit more of trimming the fat, so to speak. They're even with Nunnery leaving, they're at the 85-man limit. Florida definitely needs to add, I'd say, four players, a receiver, interior offensive lineman, probably somebody that can help on the edge and maybe even in the tight end room. So you're going to need to create some space. So Nunnery won't be the last one. But we'll see. There's been a lot of buzz that we're going to see some massive transfers. And I don't know that we've really seen that yet in the post-spring, but
right.
The experts are sort of waiting on some really big blockbuster moves.
Again, in the post-spring, you have to have a guy – that's ready immediately without having gone through your spring. That's the difference. You can get a guy in January, Hayes, who's good and talented but doesn't know your system because he's got time to learn it. Now, it better be a star. If you take somebody now, he better be a star that can help you right away.
No doubt about it. Looking at men's college basketball, Florida got some good news in the portal. Getting forward, Sam Alexis from Chattanooga, the 6'9", Apopka native, was one of four players in the country last season, according to Chris Harry, to average 10 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, and shoot 55% from the field.
The number that stands out is the 9 rebounds. 9 rebounds is a lot. I don't care. I know you're Chattanooga. I know who you're playing. 9 rebounds a game? I mean, to average 9, you know what that means? That means you had some 14 and 15s. Okay, so that's to average 9. They hope he's the new Tyree Samuel. I even think he's going to wear his number. I think all the pictures, he's wearing number 4. So they hope he's the next Tyree Samuel.
Yeah, very good point. And, again, Chattanooga's 21-12. And Alexis had 16 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 blocks in a win at Louisville. Yeah. So certainly has done some good things for Chattanooga, and now hopefully will do so for the Gators. Joe Lunardi has released his way too early bracketology, Frank. He has the Gators as a 6 seed, the Canes as a 5 seed, the SEC and Big Ten leading the way both with 9 bids respectively.
Yeah, we'll see. I get a little bit of a chuckle out of the bracketology a year early. We don't even know who's on what teams. But if you're a Miami fan, if you're a Florida fan, if you're a fan of anybody that got mentioned in his group, it's way better to be mentioned than not.
Absolutely.
That I'll tell you.
The NBA play-in starts tonight. Lakers, Pelicans, and Warriors, Kings. So, JJ, should the Lakers tank to avoid the 2-seeded world champion Nuggets?
No. Because then you're really putting yourself out there because you lose the second game, then you're not even in the playoffs whatsoever. And LeBron, I just don't think he's built like that to throw a game. But, you know, if they do happen to lose and then win the second game, yeah, it's a way better setup for them. OKC is much easier of a road than the defending champs in Denver.
What's going to happen with the Lakers and the Warriors? Are they going to get deep at all, or are they kind of one and done or two series
well,
and done?
Well, like I say, if the Lakers end up playing OKC, I like the Lakers to win that series.
But they're not beating Denver.
No way. No.
How often have we seen the 8 over the 1? 3 times in league history? I know the Nuggets were the first one to do it.
Yeah, the Mavs and the Warriors back in the day, the Nuggets. Yeah, probably at 3 times. That sounds about right.
Shifting to Major League Baseball, Whitey Herzog died today at the age of 92. The Cardinals manager won the World Series in 1982, as well as pennants in 85 and 87.
Yeah, he changed the game a little bit. Because the 82 team that won it in those early Cardinal teams, they won without home runs. They played on that artificial turf. They all ran 100 miles an hour. You remember that team?
Oh, yeah.
Vince Coleman and Willie McGee. And
right.
they had Jack Clark, who hit home runs, and everybody else hit the ball down and ran. Ken Obergefell was on that team, I think. And he changed the sport a little bit and won with a different style. He was a great manager. Whitey Herzog, for both the Royals and the Cardinals, was a great manager.
Absolutely. Another goodbye in the world of baseball. John Sterling, the Yankees play-by-play man, is retiring effective immediately at the age of 85. He joined the Yankees in 1989.
Isn't it amazing? By the way, Braves fans, a year or two, do you know he did the Braves for a year or two?
I didn't know that until you mentioned it when he had come up a couple years
ago. He did the Braves with Skip Carey and Ernie Johnson way back in the day for like a year or two. I mean, way back in the early 80s. But one of the great play-by-play guys of all time. If for no other reason, two things: the call, Yankees win, and how long he did it. And so, what a great call! The Yankees win.
That's right. Michigan got a 3-year probation for recruiting violations in football during COVID. It's really kind of a slap on the wrist, I would say. When you look at it, it doesn't look like anything will greatly interfere with the Wolverines football program. What's interesting is this has nothing to do with the sign stealing scandal.
Isn't it almost time to shut down the enforcement staff?
I would say so.
Pretty much everything's legal now. Guys are getting paid and people are doing whatever. It's almost, I don't know how much, what the combined salaries are, but I got to believe you can use that money better than. Remember David Burst, the old guy, no vowels, BRST? Only guy in the history of the world with no vowels in his name?
I don't know who that is.
He was like the enforcement. David Burst, BRST.
Was that when, like, in the 80s with Florida?
70s or 80s, yeah. Okay. So he was the guy. So you didn't know David Burst, huh?
Did not.
Google him.
Yeah, I will.
That one's free.
I'll put that at the top of my list.
Please.
All right. The NFL draft is coming up next week. We're going to take you back to this event, which occurred in the year 2000.
Among the last 6 picks taken, a familiar name if you're a college football fan, Tom Brady, the quarterback who all he did was lead this football team, put them in the right position more times than not. And when he got pulled from the game and Drew Henson came in, Michigan football was not as good as it was when Brady was in.
No question, Mike. Smart experience. This past season, he cut his interception total from 98 and a half, tossed 20 touchdown passes, only 6 interceptions. Threw a touchdown pass in actually all 16 games he started against Big Ten opposition during his career. Accurate. It was a very catchable ball. He really knows when to take a little off as well. And he got the key, and he stands in that pocket very tough. He'll take a hit. Question's going to be mobility. Only runs a 5.25 40. And of course, when you have those edge pass rushers, you have to avoid the initial defensive end, the initial pass rusher. Can he do that at the pro level? Going to New England, Drew Bledsoe, his forte certainly isn't mobility. It's dropping back, throwing the football. Brady can do that, and certainly New England's offense already designed for Bledsoe. Now comes Brady. Can he overcome that lack of mobility?
I don't know.
Yes, he can.
I don't know if he can.
Yes.
I don't know if he can.
Yeah. Hard to believe that was 24 years ago today. The Patriots take Tom Brady in the 6th round, who goes on to become the greatest player that we've seen in league history.
Mike Tirico and Mel Kiper,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. How about that? Mike Tirico as well on the call there. We're going to get out on this one. A happy birthday to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He turned 77 today. The 19-time All-Star was a 6-time world champion and a 6-time MVP. But I will always know him as Roger Murdoch.
I think you're the greatest, but my dad says you don't work hard enough on defense. And he says that lots of times you don't even run down court, and that you don't really try, except during the playoffs.
The hell I don't. Listen to you. I've been hearing that crap ever since I was at UCLA. I'm out there busting my buns every night. Tell your old man to drag Walton and Lanier up and down the court for 48 minutes.
That from the iconic comedy Airplane. Happy birthday, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That is a beautiful moment, wasn't it?
So good.
That is a
one of the best
moment.
Cameos ever.
Oh, well done. Those are Hayes Headlines, brought to you once again by our friends at Harrell and Harrell, Holt and the gang over there. Really, really good folks. If you need a lawyer, call them, man. They do a fantastic, fantastic job. The Whisper's in the house. Have you heard?
I see him.
The
yes.
Whisper's in the house. He joins us after this. We'll talk quarterbacks and more with Denny Thompson on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, the quarterback whisperer, Denny Thompson.
Okay, bring it in.
Brought to you by Tyson Sound and Security, security and automation experts, and George Moore Chevrolet.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome back to the program. Frangie Carline, J.J. LaSelva, Denny Thompson in the house. He was at that Guggen yesterday. You and you had your boys out there?
Oh, yeah. We had a great time.
That was a great day. It was really a good time. It was a beautiful
I like what
day.
Y'all did with the weather.
Yeah, yeah. We yeah. did. Well, we worked hard on that.
Yeah,
Our friend Jack O'Brien worked hard on the weather, so that was it. Hey, a lot of things to get to today, Denny. Obviously, we're going to start with Trevor because Trevor spoke. It's the Trevor day. He spoke to the media. But I made this comment. I want to see if you agree with this. And I think he's going to have a big year, but let me make my point. You can agree or disagree. I think these number one overall pick, so some of the best quarterbacks to ever play were not number one overall picks. It was Brady went low and Montana, Marino at the end of the round. I know Peyton went high. But my point is, when you're that talented, that long, that good, that sometimes you don't understand there's things you can't do because it's always worked. So there's times when the read is don't try and stick it into the corner of the end zone, throw it in the stands and come back to play another down, yet you've always gotten away with it because your arm's so good mm-hmm. and you're so much better. And there's times you get hurt. He got hurt a lot last year because he'll hold the ball an extra second because his ability. And I think guys that are that talented, it might take longer to realize that no matter how talented you are in that league, mm-hmm. you can't make those reads. And I said this before, if that light goes on for him, if that happens, you know he's got the hardware, 6'6", great arm, athletic. You know he's got the software, hard worker, good teammate, good person. If the light goes on for him, that part, the instinct part, when he knows when to throw it away and play another down, when he knows when to get on the ground or not get hit, because he talked about that today, look out Indianapolis and Houston and Tennessee if that happens. Because I think it's on the cusp of happening. Does that make sense? You
it makes,
agree with
yeah,
what
it makes
I just
a ton
said?
Of sense. I mean, we have short memories. I would say every number one pick has struggled in the history of the game.
In large part because of that, right?
Well,
it
I think
came easy for them.
There's that, and we think of these guys as just these amazing athletes, and they are, that just can walk into anything. But they all struggle, and I think the way that they respond to that struggle – defines what their career becomes, right? So now, yes, you know where you're struggling at in this league if you're Trevor. And so now it becomes and I'm sure he's fine with this, but a work ethic and a what are you surrounding yourself by and how are you fixing these issues? So you know that you're struggling with all these things, but they're not going to fix themselves. And these are probably things that you've never struggled with before in your past. And so now you've got to get creative. You've got to reach out to other quarterbacks who have been through this thing. You got to spend time with coaches, your coaches, other coaches. Like, whatever you've got to do to figure out how to fix this struggle that you have not previously had will define what your career as an NFL player is. Trevor's a little different because Trevor probably can go by the way he's going now and play 15 years and be thought of as fantastic. But to your point, if he digs in and he looks at that film and he figures out how were they playing us, what were we doing, what did I mess up with on this 5-game losing streak. Then at that point, now you've got a quarterback. Now you've got, that's the definition of a seasoned veteran now. Because now there's something that they showed me that I now captured. I remember you're not going to do it to me again. And now you're going to figure something else out. And you just try to stay ahead of that.
If a quarterback is having a fumbling problem, what do they do in an offseason from a strength and conditioning standpoint and also just a technique standpoint? What are drills they can do so that they can be better in terms of protecting the football the following season?
Yeah, that's tough. I don't think from a strength and conditioning, I mean, you would think hand strength and all these guys are throwing something, but their hand strength is fine. I think it's just an awareness. It's just an awareness of where people are at. People will say, well, he's holding the ball too low. No, he's not. Like, hands are up high too, right? It's just an awareness of what's around you and a spatial awareness of how to navigate in that. I think Trevor is really good in pocket presence. But at the same time, he's very long. He takes up a lot of space, right? And so those guys rushing him are very long. You're talking about guys that with a wingspan may be 3 feet away from you and can still swipe the ball, right? So you got to figure that part out. I think it's the same as what we talked about before. It's just now you realize how this game works. Now, what are you doing mentally, physically, to prepare for this?
See, I think he works really hard and is trying to learn it. I just think his – look, you know what you know. Here's what you know. And Clemson, that Wake Forest and Duke cornerback weren't covering T. Higgins or whoever. He was open. You mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. They just weren't. Mm-hmm. And now I think it takes a while to learn. And by the way, you could hold the ball an extra second. You know why? Because that left tackle at Clemson was yep. blocking that NC State guy,
yep.
Kenny.
Yep.
Well, now. That swim move that comes from Von Miller is better than that NC State guy. You may not have as long, and I just feel like you got to play a while.
Yeah, that's the awareness.
Yeah, right.
And yeah.
So yeah. We'll
that's see. The interesting thing, though, because you see that, you know, we talk about C.J. Stroud, and I think everybody thinks C.J. Stroud is going to be a superstar for a long, long time. But it's not going to surprise any of us if he comes back to the field this year, right? I just there's things that this league can throw at you because they don't have to recruit. They don't have to do anything but game plan for you all offseason.
Yeah.
They really have no player responsibilities for the most part. They're sitting in there breaking down film, scouting people, and figuring out how to play them. And the deeper you get into your career, the harder that gets, right? Because you start to see the different ways that people play you. I think Trevor fits that. You know, obviously Anthony Richardson didn't play much, but he'll have to deal with that. All these guys will have to deal with it at some point.
I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a gigantic year. And listen, I'm that guy. I'm always positive. Glass half full. Going to be great. I know I'm that guy, but I really do think that Hayes this year.
I think also, Denny, everything for Trevor was always, you know, Cartersville, Clemson, great supporting cast. How often was he probably even really blindsided in the pocket? How often did he, you know, have to navigate situations where you don't have timeouts, you can't throw it inbounds inside the five, probably not all that often because it just – he was on a dominant team. He was mm-hmm. a reason why the teams were so mm-hmm. dominant, but he also had dominant talent around him. So he is certainly generational from frame, arm strength, accuracy, demeanor, leadership. But it seems like instinctually coming into the NFL, there were a lot of things that he probably should have learned at lower levels that he just never really had much experience with. So unfortunately for the Jaguars and somewhat for Trevor, he's making mistakes early in his career that probably he would have made at the college or high school level and learned from. Because it doesn't seem like, other than the interception in the end zone where he rolled out. He did that twice.
Yep.
But it seems like for the most part, he doesn't duplicate a mistake. It's just that there's a lot of things that he still hasn't really gone through as being a – he's still just 24.
Yeah, yeah. But and I agree with everything you're saying, but, man, the one you're referencing about the end zone, that changed the season. It's a Baltimore game, right? I mean, that is situationally something that you visit – from the time you're playing any type of organized football. But I understand what you're saying, and I think he does have that thing to him where he learns as he goes, but there's also, like, you got to lead this team. You have to be the one that knows that. Out of all the 11, your job description is that I have to know that, and I can't allow that to happen. If a receiver does it, if he doesn't run out of bounds, we talk about it for, like, a week. If a quarterback does it, we're still talking about it. 5-6 months later, y'all know I love Trevor, but he's got to be better. And there really is no excuse for that. I won't give him a bell out on that because that's stuff that, you know, I was a high school coach that we talked about during 2-minute drills, you know, playing 1A football here in Jacksonville, Florida. He's got all that. Now it's just, all right, now I felt the pressure. That's the first time he's been 8-3, number one seed with a team that was frankly just better coming in. Now, are you good enough to rise above that team? And you can't rise above that team. You can't bring your team to that level if you're making mistakes like that. That's, to me, when you say he's going to have a huge year, I agree. I think he's going to be much, much better Pro Bowl caliber. But the thing that I want to see is situationally, does he lead this team? Or do we come back here on Mondays and talk about why didn't Press Taylor or why didn't Doug Peterson do this? No. You're a franchise quarterback. You're supposed to make them look good.
The spring games were – two of the spring games were Saturday, both Florida and Georgia. I'll start with the Dogs because Carson's your guy. What did you see from him? And then Graham Mertz, I didn't watch the Georgia. I just saw bits and pieces of it. But I did see the Florida one. Hayes was at the Florida one. I thought Mertz looked really good. What did you think of those two guys?
Yeah, I watched Carson several times. I didn't see it live. He played okay. I like what Georgia did with him. They went ones-on-ones with him the whole time, put him in situations like he had to score at the end to tie it up, and he made some unbelievable throws. It's a new group of receivers together, so you can see they're still trying to find their way. But you throw for 301 in a game, real game-type atmosphere against the best defense in the country, you're probably doing okay. But there were probably four or five throws in there that it's just like, okay, there's not three other people that can make those throws. And so he flashed that. So I think he's off and running. I head up there tomorrow, actually, to spend some time with him. So we're excited about the season. I didn't get to watch much of Florida. I saw some highlights. I don't really feel like I need to watch Florida to know what Graham Mertz is. It seems to me like he is the consistent guy. He's going to do exactly what you need every single play. He's going to make good decisions with the ball. And do you just have the pieces around that turns that 9-yard completion into a 25-yard completion? And that, to me, that's the question at Florida. Yeah, Graham Mertz is not the question.
Yeah, I thought Graham Mertz was very much in control and had the fantastic touchdown pass to Wilson, who looked great. And DJ Lagway looked good, particularly considering it's his sort of first foray into this. Mechanically, it's interesting with him, and I don't know this stuff at all, but just watching him in warmups and then obviously watching him in the game, maybe it's because it's been a while since maybe he's been in that kind of live action, even though obviously they couldn't tackle him. But it looks like to me like he holds the ball really close to his rib cage.
Mm-hmm.
Is that common? Could that be something that gets him in trouble from a mechanic
standpoint? I'm going to assume he's doing it for mechanics. I mean, there's a pace or a timing to anything rotational. And so we all grew up where they told you to hold it by your ear, which is probably the worst idea ever.
But we were all taught that.
Right. We were all. Me too.
Right.
Yep. When I first started doing this, I taught that.
Right.
The ideal position is just right below your chest. Elbows is as relaxed as they
can
be.
I'll be done. I'll be okay.
And it's one of those things where mechanically, you don't need your front hand mechanically. The only thing your front hand is doing is securing the ball a little bit, right? And so for some guys, they'll find with their foot strike, how long they are, things like that, that if they start a little bit back, it just speeds everything up. Other guys, Carson's the opposite. Carson actually tilts front a little bit, so it gives him more time for his arm to run through. So I think that's probably something that he's worked on in the offseason, and for right now feels like that's where he's got the best consistent stroke. It's no different playing golf. It's right. Yeah. Like it's certain clubs go at this part in your stance and it just times up better and launch angles better. Exact same thing with throwing the football.
How is the – if you look at the teams that we all follow, they're all going to have a veteran quarterback. I mean, if you look at the – between Cam Ward at Miami, DJ Uiagalelei at Florida State, Graham Mertz at Florida, Carson Beck at Georgia – if you looked at the ages combined, I mean, how old's Carson? 22?
22.
Yeah. He might be the youngest of the four, right? I mean, Cam Ward's around.
Yeah.
So he's or similarly young.
Yep.
So obviously people want to play these veteran quarterbacks. Jackson Dart came back. Garrett Nussmeier's gonna get a chance. We go on and on. So given that, Denny, is it harder than ever for a freshman to play? Is it more complicated? Or is it easier because they've been in these 7-on-7s more than their predecessors? How does that work?
I think they're more developed, but it's harder. The transfer portal has made it harder as a freshman to play because now if you don't have your guy, you can still go get him. You're not relying on that freshman. And in addition to that, we say this every couple of years, but I don't know if people have been at a practice, like these guys are really big and fast.
Right.
I mean, they went from playing with anybody who could make a team in high school to elite-level athletes that 30 years ago – is what Sunday looked like, right? Like it's that big of a jump. So I think it's really hard. I think they're coming out with more football IQ, things like that. But defenses are also doing more. So it's just a matter of how much can you get into these guys' head over the next. Well, I'm talking about it right now with Jeff Sims. We're having a ton of conversations because he's seen a lot of ball, right? And there's a value to that. Whether you performed well or not, or whatever you want to say, like, guys that have seen a lot of football are very valuable commodities in college football.
The college football portal opened today and will be open for 15 days. Are you hearing any sort of rumblings or any expectations that you have? Because the experts make it sound like this could be blockbusters like we haven't really seen before in this time of year.
That's what I've heard, too. From personal experience on this, we had a couple of guys who were kind of thinking about, you know, maybe looking at it, receivers, quarterbacks, whatever. And it really just, it's a 6-month decision. It's so hard. I can do it again in December. And if I'm going in now, like, you have to be in a pretty bad situation. You have to feel like either you're not getting a fair shake at this thing, or you're not, it's a new coach and you weren't his guy. Like, there's only certain situations that you should enter in the spring. And then if your team is taking, especially a quarterback in the spring as a starter, that's probably not the best sign, right? Like, that's not ideal. And so I think the more we all kind of learn this thing, and NIL is obviously a part of this as well, I think that December is the move. It's tough if you go in right now.
Update me on Jordan Travis, for starters. How's he look? How's he feeling? Where's his head? What's he expect?
I don't know how he feels, but he looks phenomenal.
Yeah?
Yeah, he really does. He is throwing the ball really well.
Good.
And we put a video, I think Tom Pelissero put a video out of him throwing with us the other day. And he's moving fine, he's healing fine, and all that kind of stuff. But the more I'm around him, the more I realize, like, this guy just wants to be great. Yeah. You've said it. I steal your line all the time, but he's got the football playing down. He knows that.
Yeah.
Now he wants to learn every single thing about everything else. He is right in the face of every guy that we have here asking questions, and just, I mean, no other way to put this, just a gem of a human being.
Yeah.
I mean, as good as they possibly can come.
I've never met him, but they all say he is really a good dude.
It has been an absolute pleasure, and I mean that in the truest sense, to have him here. It's just he makes everybody better around him.
That's all. And that's the book on him.
Yep.
You can't realize what a good guy is until you've been around him. How's his arm? Is it good enough?
It's fantastic. Yeah, we actually had a text thread going the other day.
So a big arm.
Tom. Yeah. If you go 1 to 10, like, if you're going to rate 1 to 10, I mean, he's probably an 8. And I'm okay. Talking about NFL standards.
See, that tells me, because Hayes has always said that. Hayes has been ahead of me on that. I love everything about him, but I wondered if he had the arm talent to be a good NFL quarterback.
I did too.
Yeah, you've always thought he did.
Yeah.
You think
no,
so.
No, I mean, I've watched him
He's
really
the be
last
the steal
2 weeks.
Steal of this draft.
I agree with that. I think he is a starter in this league. Yeah. And in the last 2 weeks, just mechanically, and the way the ball's coming out of his hands, and it's impressive. I mean, he goes days without missing a throw.
And you had said that, Hayes said. A final thought for you. Catch us up on Anthony. Catch us up on Gardner Minshew. Catch us up on people that we might wonder about.
What's
that
this?
You know,
Brock Purdy saved a reporter from a coyote attack story that he
what?
Told on McAfee today. Has he told you this yet?
No.
Okay. Well, then
Brock he was
Purdy,
just here.
He owes you a story, apparently.
Yeah. I got to hear this.
It's something saved about his John Deere sponsorship, I guess.
Right.
And anyway, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You can tell
I knew
us
he had
after
that.
You catch
yeah,
up
I'll
with
have to catch up with him.
Time.
No, he was in town, but all those guys. This is a this week and next week for us is kind of a, like, we get to calm down for a minute. Everybody's in OTAs,
right,
everybody's
right.
still in school,
right.
And then everybody's, like, getting ready for the draft,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
So we really don't have a whole lot going on right now. Everybody seems to be doing great. Everybody's healthy. Mechanically, everything's good. And then once we get really May, the second week in May, we're crowded, like, overbooked with college guys. And then June, July is just a
mess.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's college right. and pro both here for those yeah. months. So,
but
yeah.
Anthony Gardner, they're
yeah,
good.
They're great.
They're both going to be starters in the NFL. That's
yeah.
kind of cool, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. No, it's great. It's just funny how things work out.
Yeah, it really is. Danny Thompson, the quarterback whisperer. Thanks, Danny. We
appreciate
it.
You guys.
When we come back, I want a shout out now. It's all been all about Trevor today. What do you think of Trevor? How good is he going to be? Do you expect him to have a bounce back year? Do you think is it the breakout year? Your thoughts on Trevor Lawrence, your quarterback? Are you ready for him to be extended? 641-1010. Someone's getting a I Had the Best Shout of the Day t-shirt today. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You know you make me wanna
shout. Time to shout.
Woo!
Looking for the best shouter of the day. But you have to do it in 20 seconds. So let's shout.
Is it physically possible or physiologically possible to hear this song and not jump around?
I don't think
it's possible. I don't think you would actually be breaking great barriers if you ever heard this song and didn't bop around a little bit. But you do. What
we
people do.
Play this for Russian spies to get them to defect.
That's
it
exactly.
Always works.
It always works. Yeah. So we want to know who your shout out. Your shout out now is about Trevor Lawrence. How good do you think he's going to be this year? Is it a bounce back year? Does he get the big contract? Phones are loaded up. Let's go to all of you. Somebody's walking away with a t-shirt today, a nice one. I had the best shout of the day t-shirt. Mike B., you're up first. You got 20 seconds. Mike, go ahead.
All right. Well, I think Trevor's going to have a perfectly fine bounce back year because his first year under Urban Meyer, I consider that year zero. The only thing he learned about the NFL that year was maybe game speed and how to talk to the media after a loss. Year two with a good coach, he looked like he should have as a rookie, which makes last year his sophomore slump. I think he's going to have a good bounce back.
Well done.
You got buzzed, but yeah. Urban Miller's going to help your cause. Yeah. I can tell you that right now. 641-1010. You only got 20 seconds now. You're going to get cut off. Reed, you're up next. Hey, Reed.
Hey, what's up? Trevor Lawrence is going to have a great year this year. He's been a victim of his own success, and he's also been a product of circumstances. Circumstances are, everybody knows he's a gamer. His playmakers are going to try to make plays for him this year, and he doesn't have to be perfect. He just has to make the plays and
play. All right, Reed, very
well
good.
Done.
Remember, two good calls, 641-1010. We're off to a good start. Let's go back to the phone. Remember, you got 20 seconds now. Vince, you're up next. Vince, go.
Hey, guys, how you doing? We got Trevor forever. Duval. Let's meet me at the Waffle House, y'all. And we all going to holler, Duval.
Pretty good.
Well done.
Vince is pretty good. Here's what happened
today. We
like
today. Exuberance.
The bar is high today.
It is.
The bar
very
is
good.
Very high today. 641-1010. What kind of year do you think Trevor's going to have? Seriously, what do you think it's a bounce back year? Let's go to Mike. Mike, you got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. Let me tell you something. It ain't all Trevor's fault. Trevor can throw darts, but he can't throw the ball to receivers running wide open down the field when he's laying on his back. They got to protect Trevor. And we need us a mean and a nasty defense, slobber knocker, knocking mouthpieces out. He'd be like Dan Marino. Dan Marino toted the whole team on his back.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Well done. These calls have been good today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've got three or four
that
I can pick
to win. Right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they are.
So. Great calls.
641-1010. The shout is ongoing. We want the best shout of the day. Matt, you're up next. You got 20 seconds. Go ahead, Matt.
Go, Trevor. Go, Doug. As long as Prescott and calling him, we'll do amazing. That's it.
All right, Matt, thank you. I got Hunter Press is calling him if you're listening to Trevor today. We've got room for just a few more if you want to jump in here. Again, I really – just listening to him today, Hayes, just listening today, I got the impression that, okay, I know where we've messed this up. From Trevor. Okay, I know where we messed this up. I know where I messed it. I know the chances I've taken that I shouldn't have taken. I know the times I've held the ball and put myself in harm's way from a physicality standpoint or a physical standpoint or a medical standpoint, and I know now not to do that. Press and I have been together now as play caller quarterback for over a year. Maybe how do I describe it? He was on point today, Hayes, but he wasn't all hyped up. It was very common, very matter of fact. Okay, boys, it's time now. Did you get that sense?
Absolutely. And, again, he doesn't shy away from anything or duck it or make excuses. Look, he didn't practice basically from the first week of December through the rest of the season, and he was realized, I am not good enough to get away with that, that, you know, I need to make sure that I am available on the practice field so that my timing, our timing, yeah, is where it needs to be. So that is something that I do think will greatly improve. I do think he will avoid the unnecessary contact better this season than he has in the past.
Which is a big part of this. Let's go back to the phones. You got 20 seconds. Ty, you're next. Hey, Ty.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I just want to say we need to sign Trevor ASAP before the breakout season. Yeah. He's the quarterback for Duval, and if you don't believe, you're just plain dumb. Duval.
Very good, Ty. That's a good call there. I like Ty's work. Let's go to AJ, who's up next. AJ, you got 20 seconds. What do you think of Trevor this year?
Oh, Trevor's going to kick some butt this year. I agree with the sophomore slump. He's got the talent. He's got the arm. We've got the team. We've got the coach. And he's got that beautiful hair. You know, as a bald guy, I love his hair. It's going to be flowing. People are going to be watching his hair just flow behind him.
I like that one.
That was good.
AJ was good. Matt B. joins us. Matt B., you got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, look, I'm no Hayes Carline, but most of what I say goes. Trevor Hill carried the team last year. He was beat up, trying to get things done, but this year he's going to be healthy. We got Mitch Morris up front. We got Gabe Davis going deep. We're going to score all the points in the defense. Going to get them. Let's go. Duval.
Matt, thank
That's
you
really
very
impressive.
Much. Yeah, well, we've had a lot of Duvals.
Yeah.
A lot of enthusiasm. Let's go. Let's squeeze in one more of these. I'm going to take one more call, I think. We've had a bunch of them today. We could go all day. Everyone's got an opinion
about
this.
This is number nine.
This will be number nine. This caller is Glenn. Glenn, go ahead. You got 20 seconds.
If we got those throwbacks coming this year, seeing Trevor come out with the throwbacks, that's going to put an extra emphasis on his game and everyone's game around it. I'm excited for the throwbacks. And that, with the hair and everything going on, Trevor's our man for the future, next decade. That's it.
All right, Glenn, thank you very much. All right, nice work by all of our callers. Good work.
A lot of optimism, which is great.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of optimism, yeah. A lot of enthusiasm. But I liked all the callers. Some had the fun enthusiasm in the Duvals, but also broke it down with some real football stuff too. So I thought it was really good. I thought it was a good combination.
Yeah, a lot of good points.
We'll announce a winner at the end of the show. I've got a good feeling about where he's going to be. I've got a good feeling about what he is. And I said this at the top. Let me reiterate this point, Hayes. I do think it matters when you're a relatively young quarterback. It's year four. He's not that young. He's still kind of young. He's 24 years old. The fact that Christian Kirk, Evan Engram, and Zay Jones at least start the season healthy. By the way, Gabe Davis is a good player. You paid him for a reason.
He scores touchdowns.
He's got separation speed, and he's got two gears or multiple gears. But the three other guys you've been with, Travis Etienne you've been with, there's a lot of guys here that you have been with that have been part of your thing, you know, that part of your thing. And I like where I think he is, man. I like where I think he's going to be. I like how I think he's going to play. I've got a good feeling about it, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know, like, the draft, what the draft will bring, but basically if they were to huddle right now, I think the only two new guys in the huddle would be Gabe Davis and Mitch Morse.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean –
and that's two pretty good guys.
Yeah.
Both of whom have played with a really good quarterback.
So, I mean, most of the guys that he's looking at, yeah, he has familiarity with.
And I think that matters. Yeah. I think it does. All right, we'll take a break. One segment to go. We'll wrap the program after this. Stay with us.
It's a Nimnicht Tuesday on The Frangie Show. Nimnicht, your friends in the car business since 1941.
I promise you, they're my friend since 1982 is when I started buying cars there, and I've done it ever since. Nimnicht Chevrolet is on Cassett right at Park. Nimnicht Buick GMC is just off of I-295 on Phillips Highway. Great car dealerships, great people. My friend Billy Nimnicht and Lee Nimnicht, wonderful family. They really know what they're doing. The Nimnicht family of dealerships. We're getting closer and closer to the draft. Today, Trevor Lawrence and Foye Aluakun from the Jags met with the media. It's kind of to kick off the start of OTAs. On Thursday, 2 days from now, Doug Peterson and Trent Baalke will meet with the media. I'll be at that one with you, Hayes, because it's the equivalent of their pre-draft luncheon that they've had for many, many years. They'll talk a little bit about the possibilities. They don't tell you a lot, but they tell you where they think their team is. I think that you gather that. Before you look up, it's going to be a week out, and we are on draft night, which is kind of fun.
We're going to have future Jaguars here soon, which is always fun. And, yeah, you know, that 17th pick, again, it all starts there, obviously. So will this thing have a lot of twists and turns? I tend to think it won't. I think it, you know, will kind of play out almost somewhat expected, you know, what many have expected for many months now, that one of the two top corners will be there at 17, and that's what they will do. But I'm very intrigued. It's almost here. And, you know, there's so many other storylines, too. Like, you know, will quarterbacks really go 1-2-3-4 for the first time in history? You know, what does Jim Harbaugh do at 6 with the Chargers? You know, does he stay put? Does he take Joe Alt and build the offensive line like some think? Can he possibly pass over Marvin Harrison and Neighbors? What ends up happening in the division? You know, the Titans will obviously be first up. You know, what do they do? Jared Verse, Brock Bowers, where do they fall? It's going to be fascinating. I just wish that it was tomorrow night.
If Terry and if I said, who do you think the Jags are taking? Give me a name. And it's not Terry Arnold.
Quinion Mitchell.
Quinion, the other corner.
Mm-hmm.
You still think corner.
Mm-hmm.
Even if.
What about you?
Yeah. I got this sneaky suspicion that Edge could creep its way. I think they want a cornerback. I think they need a cornerback. But I have this sneaky suspicion that if Verse is there, if the UCLA guy's there, which it could be, I think it's going to be Arnold. I think it's going to be or Mitchell. But I would be more surprised. I would guess Edge over receiver. Nobody else feels that way.
I would guess Edge over receiver if Verse is there.
Yeah.
And probably Latu as well. But I definitely think Edge doesn't have as much depth in this class. So that's the issue. You can wait on receiver, you can wait on corner is big, even though corner I think is by far their biggest need. You could theoretically wait until second round and with the comp third to address those spots and probably feel like you've done quite well when it comes to value.
That's right.
Edge, you're not probably going to have that. So, from that standpoint, I still think Verse will be gone. I did see another mock today that had him going, I think, 21st. We'll see. Maybe he's there. I think it would make a lot of sense, particularly, and this is something that, we can ask at the draft luncheon, what is the plan for Trayvon Walker to play more inside with Ryan Nielsen here? They need an edge anyway, but if you're really planning on giving Trayvon Walker snaps inside, then that edge player as a rookie goes from maybe 30% of the snaps to maybe like 45%, much easier to justify the pick and long-term if Trayvon Walker is going to be almost used as a hybrid player.
Yeah, you're right. So it'll be interesting. It'll be a lot of fun to see. So we'll keep tracking it. Again, we'll hear from Doug and Trent. You'll hear those comments on our program on Thursday. And then we're 1 week from a draft, which is always a lot of exciting fun, a lot of fun. Baseball tonight. Who do the Braves got, JJ? Who you got tonight?
We got the Astros. So we beat them last night in Houston. First time in Houston since the World Series victory of a couple years ago. Unfortunately, Ozzie Albies, broken toe. So the injuries are mounting up now for the Braves.
How long is he out?
Probably just a few weeks. But, Strider lost for the season.
Yep, do that.
But they got a great pitching performance from this Vines kid yesterday. So, it looks like the Braves are going to be good again. The Phillies are still good. The Mets got their way all the way back to 500. So the East is pretty hot right now.
Yeah, the Braves have 10 wins. The Brewers have 10 wins. The Cubs have 10 wins. The Padres have 10 wins.
Wow.
And, of course, Hayes, they're all chasing the National League Elite.
Right.
The Dodgers and the Pirates both have 11 wins.
Yeah. The classic. Well, you guys have played a lot less games than them, too.
It kind of took a while to set that up. I was kind of going through the whole setup. Where did you kind of – you kind of sense where that was going, I think.
Are you guys legit, you think?
I don't know. We lost to the Mets last night. The bullpen's blown some lead. The Pirates are – here's what they are.
Yeah, Aroldis looked rough yesterday.
He did. Here's what the Pirates are. They are legitimately now – I can tell you I think they're legitimately – They will be an over 500 500 or better team that if things fall right could be a wild card team. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
JJ, does that make sense?
Yeah. If you're close to 500, you can definitely get in the playoffs nowadays.
And that's what I think. If you ask me to predict right now, I honestly wouldn't be surprised, Hayes, at 83-79 and the second wild card.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet you that's where they land, which is way better than we've had now forever.
First time
in 9 years.
How about that?
Yeah, that'd be phenomenal.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll take it.
I'm one of the few guys that
will cartwheel at 83 and 79.
83 wins? Hell yeah, you'll take that.
Folks, that's our program. Don't go anywhere. No Rick Ballew tonight. But Hacker Nation, Hacker After Dark, will actually be before dark tonight. He'll be on the show. He'll be on the air in just a minute, so be listening for Hacker. We're out of here. For Hayes and JJ, I'm Frank Franzi. So long.